This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're going to instantly recognize the voice of our next guest, but first let me tell you about Best Ball over at DraftKings. With Best Ball on DraftKings, you get the best of your team all season long. Fantasy this year, Best Ball on DraftKings is bigger than ever with $10 million in guaranteed cash prizes up for grabs. For a limited time only, you can join DraftKings' largest Best Ball contest ever and get your first entry back in DraftKings dollars as soon as the draft is finished. Act now before it expires. So to start playing Best Ball, download the DraftKings app, use the code Sharp, S-H-A-R-P, enter DraftKings Best Ball Millionaire Contest and Snake Draft for your team this season. Each week, you'll automatically rack up points from all of your top scores. No ads, no drops, no trades, no I should have played him instead. Teams with the most points by the end of the season will have a shot to take home $1 million in top prize. That's awesome. What are you waiting for? Head to DraftKings app, sign up with the code SHARP. Got a gambling problem? It's 1-800-GAMBLER. One per customer. Opt-in required with $10 in entry fee. Age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See DraftKings.com/promotions for details. Now, as we welcome you back and I catch my breath, I'm Patrick Maher. He's Amal Shaw. I said that voice is going to be instantly recognizable. We should have had Wes Durham do that read because, of course, ACC Network, Atlanta Falcons Network voice, he joins us now to talk ACC. Hi, Wes. How are you?
Patrick, great. Nice to be with you guys. Hope you're well. Hope you're having a nice August 3rd, right? I mean, here we are. We're a month away from the start of the college season. NFL goes tonight. Preseason, you know, I don't know why it's not 7-on-7, but I haven't, you know, we'll worry about that later. But good to be with you guys. Thanks.
Do you still get the juice flowing once we turn that calendar to August and you can kind of sense it all coming with the Falcons and the ACC?
Yeah. I mean, I've been to training camp a couple times. I'll go again tomorrow. I mean, for Atlanta, it's almost like a brand new team each of the last 3 years. That's been fun to watch. The college game to me has really built a lot of momentum, you know, with news off the field as much as on the field. But yeah, I think the ACC's got a chance to have a couple teams, certainly Clemson and Florida State threatened. But I'm as curious in that league to see who will be the third, fourth, or maybe even the fifth team we're talking about come October or November.
Well, let's start with that. Clemson, Florida State, do you have a preference there? And then tell us a little bit about who you think could fill in behind those two teams.
Amal, I like Clemson over Florida State, but you guys +145, +150, I would say that's about right. I mean, the thing about Florida State is this, and, you know, for all the stuff they're saying here in the last 24 hours, they really haven't been a factor in this thing, you know, in the last 5 or 6 years, sans the Jimbo Fisher and Jameis Winston national title. I mean, they had some nice runs, but the Willie Taggart experiment was brutal, and then Mike Norvell was left to clean up that mess. I think Clemson's been a brand for a decade. I think Dabo has more 44, and that's too deep at every position than maybe Florida State does. The thing I like about Florida State is I really like Jordan Travis. I think he's terrific. I think he's a really, really good football player, and I think they've got two dynamic running backs. I think their success is going to be determined about how well they can run the ball, how well they can stop the run, to be honest with you. I think they've done some nice things in the transfer portal. Clemson, if the quarterback situation goes well, and think about how inconsistent that's been the last year and a half, if the quarterback situation goes well, I think Clemson can have a really good year. I think they're going to be terrific on defense at all three levels. The third team for me right now is North Carolina, because I believe in Drake May that much. I think he is, he and Caleb Williams to me are the two best quarterbacks in the country. And May seemingly can turn the average guy into a superstar. And North Carolina's ability to bring guys back on offense, they've got more than a couple of running backs that he can lean on early. But Carolina's got to get better on defense. And I think Gene Chizik is optimistic about that. I see a lot of guys back. But they couldn't flat tackle people a year ago, and every game turned into arena football on grass. So we'll see. We'll see about Carolina. I think Pittsburgh's the one everybody sleeps on nationally, to be honest. And sometimes even in this league, people sleep on Pitt. But Pat Narduzzi's done as good a job in the last 5 or 6 years as anybody coaching in this league. And he brings back a bunch of guys you've never heard of, but they've all seemingly played at some point. And I think it's going to be interesting to watch them early. The UC, West Virginia, Carolina combination for them in September, that's a pretty strong cup of coffee for Phil Jurkovec and Frank Cignetti, who are back together again in that quarterback OC combination.
Patrick, West made a great point. UNC, eight starters back on defense, but these guys couldn't tackle anybody playing flag football last year. We'll see if they can improve there. And I got to tell you one thing, Wes. Patrick, the reason why I wanted to interject is I'm going to die on this Florida State hill by myself. Wes, I think this team's got a chance to go 12-0. I got Jordan Travis not only in New York City, but I've got him preparing the speech. He is the best dual threat for my money. Caleb Williams is the best quarterback, but Jordan Travis, to me, in terms of dual threat, you look at Wilson on the perimeter. They added Keon Coleman. I'm sorry. I'm done with my rant. All I'm saying is Florida State's beating LSU. Have a nice day, people.
Well, hey, Amal, as far as I mean, the way you're talking, you should have been at the Board of Trustees meeting yesterday. I mean, you know, golly, they should have voted you in like in some, you know, some amendment action. Look, I think they're fine. I like them against LSU too. I think the late September trip to Clemson.
Yeah.
You know, and here's the way college football works these days. And I mean, I don't have to tell you guys this. They can lose the Clemson game in late September and still get to the CFP, because more than likely they'll see Clemson again. That's the, you know, the give and take of the ACC is that's why this league, as much as everybody talks about Florida State and Clemson, I think you've got to find a third or a fourth here. And that's the trickiest part of this whole deal is who do you believe in the most? And, you know, here we are 3-4 minutes into this conversation. We haven't talked about Miami, right? I mean, we haven't talked about other schools. That's the part of this where the ACC's brand identity gets lost nationally, no matter kind of where they are from a from an improvement standpoint.
Wes Durham joins us, and my partner Amal is brilliant on college football, and he loves Jordan Travis, Wes, and I totally agree with him, but he's lost his freaking mind with this Miami team. Cristobal in year two. Year one was an unmitigated disaster, 5-7, two new offense coordinator, defensive coordinator. Right. We don't know about Van Dyke's health. Like, I don't see it with Miami. Amal likes the team. Where are you?
I'm okay with them. I think they are going to be better than they were a year ago, but I think for them to, like, if we're in November and they're hanging around the top 10, Patrick, I think they've had a hell of a year. I think there's improvement to be had with these guys, but I want it in slower doses. I think a fuel injection of Miami would be a surprise to me, but how about beat Texas A&M in week two? We could start there. And if they can, then I like where they are. The Bethune-Cookman at Temple thing. Georgia Tech is bottom third of the ACC this year. Then it kind of really starts. I mean, look at Carolina on the 14th. Then you have Clemson, and look at the back end. Louisville, by the way, plays the easiest conference schedule of anybody in the ACC. And I'm interested to see how Miami handles at BC in November. That could be a Weather Channel game of the week if you're not careful.
You bring up a great point on the A&M game. Now, with the humidity down in South Florida, it could be a slight advantage in early September against that A&M team. Dustin's going to get mad at me for doing this, Wes, but I think Jeff Brohm going to Louisville, and I'm leading the witness here, is one of the best hires in college football. And by the way, how can you be so blessed at Louisville to lose Scott Satterfield? I'm so fortunate. I am sorry. He was horrific. Okay. I don't know how to put it. I'm from the state of Ohio. I don't cheer for the Bearcats, but they're going to be looking for a new coach in 24 to 36 months.
Well, the thing about Brohm is it's a perfect match. And there were a lot of people that wanted it to happen to Maul, as you well know, probably 3-4 years ago when they hired Satterfield. I think the question at Louisville is this: can all the new come together? Can it, you know, collate, right? I think that's a really tricky part here. You know, they've got what, 30 some transfers. I mean, they're really active in this whole piece. I think it's going to be interesting to watch Louisville early, the Friday night game in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz against Georgia Tech. But there's that stretch now, late September to mid-October at NC State, Notre Dame at home, at Pitt. Duke is no pushover after winning 9 a year ago. I think that's kind of where their bread gets buttered, to be honest with you, if they're going to have that kind of year.
By the way, Dustin,
what's interesting about Brohm, Amal and Wes, is I don't know if there's a coach in a city. The Brohm family in Louisville is gold.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be pressure on Brohm, not just him, but his brother, his dad. Like, the Brohm family means so much in Louisville.
Yeah, but Patrick, they got a runway now. You can't make another change, right? I mean, they're like Virginia Tech. You brought Brent Pry in a year ago. It doesn't work in college football these days if you keep carouseling coaches. It may work at some places like that, but you now have to buy yourself some patience. And if it doesn't go well in year one, a little bit like Miami, you kind of got to eat the apple and live with it, right? I mean, you can't continue to cycle out coaches. And if you keep doing that, you're only hurting your own program, I think. And I think the Louisville people realize that. I think he's a terrific coach. Here's his advantage, and nobody's really talked about this. He's already done it twice. He did it at Western Kentucky. He did it at Purdue. And even with the storybook and all the other things that are going on there in the Commonwealth, I think he can do it at Louisville too. The question I have is it going to happen in year one? I'm just not sure about that.
Wes, I promise you, if you say no, it's okay. But we would love to have you for 10 more minutes. Is that cool?
Sure. Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Wes Durham, legend,
for
ACC
Dustin,
Network
Dustin,
announcer.
I'm on an NIL with Dustin.
You are Dustin's favorite guest, and he's been booking for 15 years. ACC, of course, Atlanta Falcons. I want to ask you about the Falcons as well. More with Wes Durham coming up here on Sharp Money. Don't forget, you see it on the screen, VSiN.com/subscribe. The College Football Betting Guide is out today.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We hoodwinked Wes Durham to stick around, but first, who will win the Heisman Trophy this year? We know Amal thinks it's Jordan Travis. Who's going to be in the College Football Playoff Final Four? Which teams will surprise and which teams will disappoint? Well, all of those questions and more can be answered by reading the 2023 VSiN College Football Betting Guide. Detailed team previews, picks, and best bets from our writers, hosts, and DraftKings personalities are just a few clicks away by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber. Not only are you going to get the College Football Betting Guide, but you're going to get the NFL Betting Guide as well. All access to our daily best bets, picks at a glance from VSiN shows. Just go to VSiN.com/subscribe for more information. It's VSiN.com/subscribe for more information. We mentioned Wes Durham sticking around, which we do appreciate. ACC Network, of course, Atlanta Falcons voice. I do have a question about the Falcons coming up before we say goodbye. But Amal Shaw, okay. Patrick Maher, Dustin Sweetelson. Can we just take a step back and do a little bit of a deeper dive? Co-betting favorites with Clemson and Florida State in the conference. Let's go deeper into what Norvell's done at Florida State. And Amal, I'll start with you. You can kick it to Wes. 10-3 last year, first bowl bid in three seasons. Norvell got there in 2020, and as Wes perfectly laid out, it was a mess. I mean, it was a mess when he got there. The progress has been legit, and here he is 3 years in, and Amal Shaw, the College Football Playoff is in sight for the Seminoles.
Well, think about this from an offensive standpoint, guys. Last year, Florida State led the ACC in yards per play at 7 per play. The second closest is 6.3. It gives you some indication of where this offense is elevated. And once you can find a player, Wes, in my opinion, who's capable like Jordan Travis, and they brought in some great athletes at quarterback over the years, and I thought they had the best system ever with Bobby Bowden. You sit for 2-3 years, and then you play for the final 2 years. But to be able to duplicate that was difficult. And you know this well. For people that are unfamiliar, Tallahassee and that part of the, you get into the panhandle of Florida, there's some good players that have come from there, but the most of the talent is in Central and South Florida. So to get guys up there, he's done a great job. You go to Southwest Georgia and other parts of the country, and Norvell seems to be very, very likable, Wes. I don't know Mike Norvell, never interviewed him or engaged with him, but it seems like from what I see in recruiting, players seem to resonate with him. Adam Fuller's done a great job on the defensive side of the ball, and then we've known Florida State's always been able to get athletes. It's still a great place to play football. I think all those things are starting to come together.
I don't disagree with that, Amal. I think the one thing about Mike that you find out is that he's probably been more adaptive to the landscape than anybody else who's been dealt this kind of hand. The number of guys he's gotten through the portal. I mean, you can talk about Keon Coleman from Michigan State. I choose to take Jared Verse, who came from Albany, yep, an FCS program. And then because of the landscape, Verse State. He didn't go pro, right? I mean, that makes a big difference. Then, you know, the in-conference guys like Fentrell Cypress, who's going to start at corner for him on opening night against LSU, who transferred from Virginia. He's also been pragmatic about who he goes and gets in the portal. At the same time, he has kind of taken Florida State and revitalized that whole foundation of what the program is. You mentioned Adam Fuller. I think that's a big part of it. The transition from Kenny Dillingham to Alex Atkins was really strong, I thought, a year ago, allowed Travis to do some different things. The key element for me is going to be, you talk about who they are offensively, and I agree, but when Florida State's been at its absolute best, they are locked down on defense, and they allowed too much stuff on the ground a year ago. They allowed guys to rev it up and run the ball on them, and they've got to be able, and I think that's part of the reason they're pretty excited about Braden Fist, the Western Michigan transfer, and certainly Fabian Lovett comes back. Those two guys have to be able to free up Patrick Payton and Jared Verse off the edges. And then Tatum Bethune is a really good linebacker. Kalen DeLoach is a really good linebacker. The box is going to be incredibly important, I think, for Florida State, especially on night one. It's even going to be more important when they go to Clemson in late September, I think.
Amal, Wes, let's get to this. 10 is the number as far as season win total, okay? Ooh. Also,
boy, you
the
guys
home
are
slate
good.
Is a breeze. If you start digging in, the home slate's a breeze. Now, as Wes mentioned, Amal, open in Orlando against LSU. So the test is right off the bat, right? But also on the road, you're going to be peeking ahead to September 23rd at Clemson. They've lost 7 straight in the series. They've got Pitt on the road. Wes mentioned it's a team you sleep on. They've got Florida. You know, this is the road slate gets tough for Florida State, Amal Shaw.
Well, look, you're absolutely right in terms of Wes. I said we're going to find out about Florida State. Nobody's got 2 games that are tougher in the month of September than Florida State, LSU and at Clemson.
Right.
You'll get an
right.
idea where this team is. I don't see potentially 3 losses. It might be a tough, tight game that they eke out a victory up in Heinz Field. And Narduzzi does a great job with his team. When you mentioned it earlier, you don't know the names, but they just kind of plug and play guys, and they're going to be competitive. Even if they're 8-4 or 4-8, they're still going to fight you every game, tooth and nail. I just think in college football, the value of a mobile quarterback with the ability to make plays, and I don't know why Wilson doesn't get more run on a national level, 6'7", 240 on the perimeter. You mentioned Keon Coleman. I love the additions defensively in terms of what they have. But I don't think this defense, they have to be better than they were last year. You're absolutely right. My God. I mean, I'm 47 years old. I might have been able to get 10 yards on that defense last year. And the bottom line is, when you look at this team, they don't have to be great. They just have to be competent. Because I'm telling you guys, and I don't know where you come out on this, Wes, they're like the Falcons offense, but they got the quarterback play here to be able to move the ball on people. They should be able to score 35-plus points per game.
If they score that number, they're going to win a lot of games.
Yeah.
They're going to win a lot of games. But what happens the night they don't have their fastball?
Well,
and who's the night against? See, and there's where the rub for me comes. Yep. And it's not that I don't think they're capable. I do believe they are. In fact, I think the ACC has 2 teams capable of being in the Final Four if the math works that way, right?
Yeah.
If you can find a way to get a 1-loss team in there. But for me, it's going to be really, really interesting to see what happens the night they don't have the fastball, like last year when they played Wake Forest, right? I mean, last year they played Wake Forest. It doesn't go well. They lost 31-21 at their own place. Mm-hmm. Sam Hartman picked them apart. How does that work when that night happens?
Yeah.
Who's it against and where is it in their season? Because the thing about the ACC is this, and we were talking about all these teams earlier, Patrick, the league has a chance to play impactful football, compelling football in October and impactful football in November for the first time in several years. If you have 3-4 teams hanging around the top 12 or 15, by the time you get to that second weekend, November.
No, you nailed it. And Duke is legit this year, boys. He's doing a hell of a job there.
Got to be better on defense.
Have to be better on defense. Yep.
The quarterback is a pro. The quarterback is a pro. Riley Leonard.
Yep, the league's better. It just is. Now, Amal, it's just a great transition because Amal and, of course, Wes Durham joining us here on Sharp Money and the voice of the Falcons. Amal brought up the quarterback situation. You are going to be dealing with a cult of personality. Back in Washington, that Taylor Heinicke, they called it the Heinicke Hive. There is something about him. I don't know what it is. And, of course, Ritter there. But there is something about Heinicke where people, not just fans, but his teammates, Wes, they gravitate towards the guy. What's the early return so far with Heinicke?
He is as solid a human being as I've ever been around in the National Football League. And I'm he's back in his hometown now. I mean, he essentially grew up in Atlanta, went to Collins Hill High School, which is 20 minutes from where the Falcons practice in Flowery Branch. And to be honest with you, Patrick, it's been refreshing to hear his stories. I know the amazing things he did in the locker room in Washington, but also the amazing things he did just to people who were fans of the team, right? And I think he brings a lot of that here. He and Ritter are off to a great start together. And I would add Logan Woodside, who's the 3rd quarterback, also had a nice camp through a week and day. So, but the reality of it is Desmond Ritter was kind of drafted and matured and nurtured last year to be in this position to start this season. And he got those 4 games last year, did okay, won the last 2. His numbers were not eye-popping, but he was a good leader, and he took care of the football for the most part. That part is Atlanta's biggest challenge. They've got a lot of weapons. Can he get them the ball? Sure, I think he can. The problem is, for 13 years, we watched somebody complete 72, 73% of his passes in this town, right? And now you're probably looking at somebody that's going to be in the 63 to 67 range. And but if you got guys that can run it, and I think Atlanta does, then all of a sudden things can work out. The real emphasis of this football team is going to be on the defensive side, though. The Ritter thing is certainly there, but can Atlanta get people stopped on defense, you know, through the air and certainly on the ground?
Wes, we got about 30 seconds. Even if you have to lie here just for my behalf, please do so. Please explain to my counterpart why the Ferrari Bijan Robinson is going to be unbelievable there. I love the kid.
You know what, Amal? It's rarely do you get the advertisement to be as good in person as you believe it is when it when you see it. It's as good in person.
Thank you.
It really is. I mean, he is number one. He is put together athletically. Number two, he can make you miss, Patrick, in a phone booth. He really can. I mean, the other day he made Cornell Armstrong, a safety, miss on just a little, you know, a little push route to the boundary side. And Armstrong came on a line and Robinson made one step and he was gone. Now, I don't know if he's rookie of the year. Maul sounds like he's got the house on Bijan Robinson, but I think he's going to impact the team for sure.
Well, as I always say, it's a running backs league. You know that.
Now, I'm just playing. They pay him Wester, so well. They pay him
with
so
all
fast.
Sincerity, this was a thrill for us, Wes. Thank you so much. We appreciate
Thank you.
At Wes Durham on Twitter. He's the best. We're coming back with Jared Smith. It's Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, we're going inside the Hall of Fame game tonight. Of course, the Jets and Browns. We're going to start with the Browns and bring in Zach Jackson, the Athletic Browns beat writer. Nobody knows these teams more intimately than those that are on the beat. It's a grind, but they get to know these teams. We say hi to Zach. Zach, thank you for joining us here on Sharp Money. Before we get to tonight and what to expect from the Browns, let's pull back expectations from the fan base. 7-10 last year, failed to qualify for the playoffs for the second straight year, but the books are bullish on the Browns. The win total set at 9.5. What are the expectations there this year in Cleveland?
They're guarded. You know, people that are still along for this ride have been burned a lot. This is a talented team. You could make the case it's the most talented team, certainly the most cash spent on the roster of any team. And you expect Deshaun Watson to be better. I know Deshaun Watson is going to be better. I can't answer how much better, and I don't think the guys that get paid to run the team can either at this point, right? But they went and got Za'Darius Smith. All their best players are in their primes. You know, this is a home game tonight. There's a lot of excitement around this Browns season. You knew Joe Thomas was going in, right? You knew Deshaun was eligible, could be there the whole time. On a Friday night in May, they traded for Smith. They spent a bunch in free agency again. Now, that was chasing their previous mistakes, but they're pretty good. They got a chance to be pretty good, but I'm guarded, and I think the fan base is too.
Zach, I want to ask you, you mentioned Za'Darius Smith comes over. He was with the Packers. He had 10 sacks last year, last four seasons. This guy's done a tremendous job in terms of production. I think 37 sacks during that stretch in 49 games. How much better can he be? But then on the flip side, how much does he help playing with Myles Garrett?
Well, I mean, they should make each other better, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't double either. You certainly can't double both. Jim Schwartz, the new defensive coordinator, is here to first get these guys organized because last year was kind of a mess. But his specialty is pass rush and unlocking pass rushers. So Smith will move inside. Garrett will move all over the place. You know, right away in free agency, they signed Okoronkwo from Houston, who had, I think, 7 sacks in the back half of last year, just kind of getting a chance to play and let loose. He's a smaller guy. He's a designated rusher. Smith and Garrett are the starters. You know, Garrett's so good, guys. He's had 16 sacks in each of the last 2 years, and you kind of felt like it could be more. So, you know, a healthy Za'Darius Smith is what they're banking on. The last 2 years say that's not a sure bet. His track record says he plays for money. They traded him, and they redid the deal. He's playing for money. He's a free agent after this year. So it's not technically a one-year contract as far as the way the Browns structure the cap, but it is for Za'Darius hitting the market next offseason. So the Browns are counting on 10 sacks, maybe even more, from Za'Darius Smith.
Zach Jackson on the beat for the Browns Hall of Fame game tonight here on Sharp Money. Listen, that defense is going to get better, Zach. He is a big personality. I'm a Detroit Lions fan, so Jim Schwartz is somebody that I follow very closely. But Football Outsiders had that defense ranked 23rd last year. Schwartz, they're going to be more aggressive. He's going to have that defense better.
Well, they were an unorganized mess. They just were, and it wasn't just the Jets game. But they were so bad at defensive tackle that it just leaked to other areas. Teams were running on them and gashing them, and it was affecting other areas. Then they had the epic melt against the Jets. They had a couple other times where they just lost guys. But they have good corners. You know, Miles isn't the best defensive player in the league, but he might be the most talented, just raw talent. Go get him. Look at this guy. You can't believe he's a real human, right? So the pieces are there. They didn't invest in linebacker. Schwartz's defense doesn't call for that. They got some veterans coming back who they feel like can at least do the job. And if they stop the run a little better, and really it's simple, guys. You know, the Browns are very analytics-driven, data-driven. They want to be advanced in everything. But the simple part is if Deshaun's better, they score more points. They turn those pass rushers loose, and then in the fourth quarter they give it to Nick Chubb, who's still the best running back in the game.
You mentioned Nick Chubb. You got Jerome Ford backing him up now. Dimitric Felton behind him as well. How do you like this 2-3 combination? Because when you looked at Kareem Hunt, he was tremendous as a backup. Are these guys good enough to carry the mail when Nick Chubb is out of a series or so?
Ford is. He's completely unproven. He's the clear number two. What they're going to do at number three, I don't know. I think that starts tonight with Felton out there a little bit, with John Kelly out there a little bit. These are guys that have been around, played different roles. You know, the team likes Felton, I think, more than the average fan does. They wanted him to be a running back all along. They got really burned at injury last year at receiver. They had to move him around. He's not a super dynamic player, but he's a little guy. He's fearless. He's smart enough to play those spots. He can, you know, he can make your team and somewhere along the way make a play. Is he really going to make your offense better if you need him? No. But they think Ford can. They like his talent, and I do too. He just got very little game action because he was behind both Kareem Hunt and D'Ernest Johnson last year. So that's one to watch for the Browns and some of these veteran backs as we get to the end of the month. But, you know, Jerome Ford is a guy that is talented and, you know, probably should be drafting if you're a fantasy nerd at some point as you get late in that draft, because if Chubb would go down or if this offense really hits the gear that it thinks it can, then there's going to be chances, and Ford's a pretty good player.
Zach, are they going to keep feeding Chubb? And I'm asking you because his rush prop is 1225 this year. He rushed for 1525 last year. They gave him the ball over 300 times. I mean, as long as they keep feeding him the ball, that 1225, he's going to go over that total rushing.
Yeah, he should. Now, last year was the most carries that he'd had, right? And they still even pulled back at the end of the year because they were out of contention the last two games. The guy's unbelievable. He is the Browns are a high maintenance team. That's why they had to go away for training camp. Nick Chubb is a low maintenance superstar. Never makes a peep, never complains, shows up, wants the ball more, never gets tackled by the first guy. So, yeah, I mean, they're going to throw it more. They're going to be more open. But I don't think they're going to forget about Nick Chubb. I know they can't forget about Nick Chubb. We're going to see how it all evolves and how much they really run Elijah Moore into the backfield. But if they're winning games, he's going to crush that 1225.
Zach, when you look at the rotation tonight for quarterbacks, technically I see on the depth chart they've got Deshaun, Dobbs, and then Mondon, DTR. Should we expect to see a lot of Mondon, DTR? Are these the guys that are competing for third, or is it really Kellen Mond's job? Because how Dorian Thompson-Robinson can sniff an NFL roster at quarterback is beyond my explanation.
Have you watched Kellen Mond play?
Well, I got to give you, I'm going to tell you something. You're absolutely right, and I watched him a lot at A&M, and he's terrible.
He's terrible.
But let me tell you, both of these guys would be tremendous bounce passers on the basketball court. They both have no business being on a roster anywhere.
So the plan for tonight is Mond the first half and DTR the second half, right? Yeah. And that will only be altered if something strange happens. Mond is not going to make the team unless he lights it up because they drafted DTR. They picked up Mond on waivers last year for nothing. And, you know, when you pay your starter so much, a record amount in this case, they went and got Dobbs because he's cheap, he's trustworthy, he's super smart, he's played. And then they would like DTR to be the long-term guy because he's cheap. He's a fifth-round pick. He's under contract for 4 years. So it's not a surprise that Mond is ahead because he's been here for 11 months now. And DTR is small. There's times it's really noticeable he's got to try to launch it. But he's sharp. You know, the offense fits both of these guys. And so, you know, I think DTR makes the team, and I think they probably do keep three just because of the importance of position. But going into tonight, you know, Mond's playing for his life. This is an audition for everybody. One team's already written him off. Several will probably after, you know, about 9:15 tonight. But he's playing for his NFL life. And then DTR's playing to kind of get his feet wet and try to keep it moving. Guys, the Browns want nothing to do with this game. They want to run the ball. They want to encounter some situations so they can work on the sideline communication and all that. They have a new special teams coordinator in addition to a new defensive coordinator. But their interest is in getting back to practice and getting Deshaun Watson the reps that he needs, and he needs them still, right? They have no interest in this game tonight. So I know people are listening. I can't believe the Browns were favored in this game most of the summer because I knew it would be Mond and DTR. But really, like, they just – who knows what crazy stuff's going to happen with these fourth stringers. But the Browns want to run it. They want to punt it and work on their punt team. They just don't want to get anybody hurt. And, you know, they'll be back at their facility tonight by the time the Jets even really load the plane. And that's what they want. They want back to work this weekend.
Patrick, first of all, I'm trying to recover from my standing eight count that Zach gave me.
Kalamon's the worst quarterback I've ever seen. I'm not being disrespectful. No. He just is.
Yeah, absolutely. He wasn't wrong in his comment. I walked right into that one. So it was a well-deserved straight shot. A great jab right there. But I got to tell you one thing, and I agree with him. We're taking the Jets and we're taking the under tonight. There's no way this offense is scoring with these two anemic quarterbacks.
No, Zach knows what he's doing because he just gave out the two plays, both the side and total. Take the Jets and go under the 33.5. Zach Jackson, great job, man. The Athletic. We'll talk to you during the year covering the Browns. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
That's keep him up there. Hey, Dustin, keep that guy's number. We'll talk to him during the because you could just when he came.
Have you seen Kyle Mond play? Unfortunately,
hey,
I did.
You know, nobody knows college football more. Kellen Mond, for hype and actual production, is the worst quarterback. Like, but every single year, and he was there for 20 years, and every single year we expected something from him and nothing.
I think Kellen Mond would be a great guy to go on a road trip with. He would never deviate his eyes off the road. He never looks off to the second receiver. He locks in nobody you've ever seen.
Primary.
It's primary Mond. That's it.
That's what they called them. They called them growing up, primary mom. Look at the big guy. The big guy loved that line, didn't you, big guy?
Tell me, he just told me basically to parlay the Jets with the under, and I think I'm doing it.
Dude, he said the Browns literally want nothing to do with the Hall of Fame game. We're back.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Great to hear the voice of our next guest for the first time in a month. Vinny Maliulo, of course, Gone Gaming, a legend, a Hall of Famer from behind the book at one of the best books on the planet. That is the South Point there, our VSiN studios. Just quickly want to let you know, as the break was happening, I received to my personal email a brand new VSiN Pro jocking. And I mean going on and on. And this is a person that loves the Mountain West. He can't stop talking about it. Going on and on about how in-depth and how great the college football betting guide is. All I'm doing, I'm not a shill. I'm literally just telling you what people are emailing me that have got the copy. You can get yours. VSiN.com/subscribe. Two things I'll point out. Mackinnon talking about the new head coaches. So important. Think about the job that Kalen DeBoer did up at Washington. And then also Adam Burke talking about the mitigation of home field advantage in college football. Vinny, we say hi to you. Amal Shaw. You know, Vinny, it was before, but not much before, the NFL home field advantage. You and I talked about it a lot.
Yeah.
The pandemic, and then it carried through. Like, that standard number of three that we all grew up hearing isn't necessarily the case anymore. And hi, good to see you.
Good to see you, Patrick. Welcome back. Good to be with you, Amal, and Dustin for sure. You know, I've got to tell you, it started right a little bit before the pandemic, and I think some of it had to do with the way teams travel nowadays, which is much more efficient, much more comfortable. The fact that given scheduling anomalies, let's say they were an East Coast team was on the West Coast for back-to-back games. It wasn't like they were crisscrossing the country twice. They started to stay regionally for extended periods of time to keep more adjusted. And frankly, listen, players have learned to just play better and be better on the road. So that home field advantage of three anymore is not a rubber stamp. I mean, let's face it, guys. There are teams that have little to no home field advantage. I mean, it's unfortunate, but when you go to a Charger game, and there are typically more opposing fans in Los Angeles for a now, I think that will start to change, and particularly as the Chargers begin to improve. You know, going into last year with the Jags, it was a similar situation. So not every home field is created equal, and it's not a rubber stamp anymore. There are still some teams that have a significant home field advantage. Seattle, I think, is certainly much, much stronger than a lot of other places. Kansas City is still strong. But for the most part, there's a much bigger disparity in college football, which, by the way, in some places exceeds 3 points. I mean, there are locations in college football that are far greater than like a Tuscaloosa, the Big House. I mean, look, there are places in college football that are four, maybe even five in some cases, depending on the matchup.
You know, that's a great point you brought up in terms of the question, Patrick. And what we're seeing is a shift in some of the places, and some of the places you're making an adjustment to a greater value. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that people need to pay attention to as you go forward. And one other thing you got to adjust in the season is whether it's in college or the NFL, if a team is having a down year, the Miami Hurricanes, a perfect example, who we're going to talk about in about 10 minutes. They're a team starting the season, you say, okay, we'd kind of assign them a certain point value. And once they fall off that cliff, Patrick, it changes the dynamic of how you see their home field advantage, especially when they're getting beat by three touchdowns by Middle Tennessee in September at home.
Well, it's Vinny's quote. Not all home field advantages are created equal.
Yeah, it's true, guys. And, you know, to Amal's point also, Patrick, I think what you want to do is, you know, we adjust power ratings during the course of the season. And sometimes we really had to start adjusting some home fields depending on how well the team is doing, right? So, there are locations, and it's same thing in college basketball. There are the college home field, home court, far exceeds the pros anymore. So there was a time it was rubber stamped as a field goal. Not the case anymore.
Patrick, there's one thing I love more than Jalen Pickett and Aaron Rodgers. That's Kansas at home at the fog.
Yeah. And Self has done a hell of a job as well. Set me up tonight. Hall of Fame game. Look, we understand what the product has been, but they're going to bet it.
Oh yeah. They're betting it now. I mean, in fact, so a couple of things, and let's see where it opened, and it was for the longest time when we put this game up a few weeks back, almost a month ago, when it was, you know, when we knew the matchup. And again, the Jets, with Hard Knocks, and, both these teams with an extra game during the preseason. The Browns opened as a 1.5-point favorite, the total on the game 33. Right now, we're sitting at the Jets as a 2-point favorite. And the total 33.5. Now, why is that? You know, is there some kind of, you know, information out there? I think what we started to realize, and you know, I think the best advice I would give people, and ourselves, and this is what we do. You really want to start listening to what coaches say. Go look at watch press conferences, and get information as to what the intent of the coaching staff is looking at in these particular games, right? I don't think either team is thrilled about the fact that they've got an extra exhibition game. I walked in, I heard you guys at the end of the last segment, you brought up a great point. You talked about an important point. Let's just stay healthy, right? I mean, it's tough enough to stay healthy. We're seeing some injuries out of practice right now, much less coming, taking place in a game tonight. So we know we're not going to see either starting quarterback. We're not going to see the ones, I don't think, for either side in this game. So what do you look at? Well, I think you break it down by both teams, right? I think if you're looking at the Jets, it's really you want to pay attention to Zach Wilson, yeah. right? You know Zach Wilson is going to play. And you want to look, I think, to see, okay, what's his attitude? Is he going to accept the fact that, okay, listen, we realized a couple of years ago you were the number two overall pick in the draft, and you were earmarked to be the future of this franchise. Well, now you're getting tutored by a future Hall of Famer. But I mean, that's the reality. Does he accept that and go out and say, this is a tremendous opportunity to have a great learning experience and be part of a team that's on the uptick, right? The other part for the Jets, I think, is you want to look at probably Becton, who, again, another high draft pick, who's probably going to get more reps tonight than he would have if he would were playing better and if he was healthier all that time. So you want to see how that that goes, because the Jets, we as I mentioned, they're on the uptick. I think if you're looking at the Jets, what is their biggest, we'll call it a concern or biggest need or something that they're going to have to evaluate in training camp? It's probably the offensive line, right? I mean,
yes.
depth yep. and quality, you know, protect Aaron Rodgers at 39 years old. So I think that's from the Jets side. From the Browns side, you know, a cultural change. You're not going to see Deshaun Watson, but you are going to see, you know, Kellen Mond, Dobbs. You know, are we going to see Thompson Robinson from UCLA? What are they? So those are the things you're looking at. So you say, well, how did this game move? Well, a little bit of money, but it also, first of all, we don't book these. The limits are not the same as they are for the regular season. We know that, right? They're lower limits.
Yeah.
And you're not the same line movement. You're not having the same line movement. You're not going to go from pick or 1.5 on the Browns to a 1 on the Browns. You know, it's going to be a much bigger step. And so your line movement is a lot quicker. Your limits are a lot lower, and then you just evaluate. But you study it from our side. You know, it's going to be good business. It's going to generate a lot of business. People are hungry for football. They want to see it. They want to play it. And, you know, from our side, what we're going to do is look at some of the little intangibles I talked about from both teams.
You know, Patrick, to me,
great point on Becton, by the way. Just it's a great point by Vin, because you don't generally see, he's going to get close to 25 snaps tonight, and
that's
a lot of work.
Exactly,
that's a lot of work for a potentially starting tackle. Sorry,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. That is a big number, and I'll tell you what, though, guys, if he plays well on a series or two, he may not even play 25 plays.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. So you want to look at it, because they need that. They need him to be good, to be better, right?
And one other thing I just want to add: yes, it's a game. But in reality, these guys are being evaluated in the practices and leading up to it and everything else. Mm-hmm. The Hall of Fame game is just, you know, it's just a way for the NFL to make money from NBC. That's all it is.
Right.
So from a game standpoint, I don't think you need to worry too much in terms of looking at guys who are going to play. Last year's Raiders game was an aberration. They put up 27 points. You go back 2 years, 16-3, 14-10, 17-16. So I don't know. It just feels like, Patrick, 34 seems to be a higher number.
Agreed.
Well, the other thing is
Hall of Fame games, 29.3 average. Go ahead,
yeah.
Ben.
And the other thing is, I just want it to be played. I don't want an issue with the paint. I don't want an issue with lightning. Think about what's happened, right? And then tomorrow we're all sitting there going, well, the game didn't go 55 minutes. We're giving everybody, please. So that's the other thing that comes up with these. We're laughing, but it's true. We know if it happened.
2002, Wisconsin, UNLV.
Oh, again, I have to, you know. Listen, I know the statute of limitations is
this is like murder. There is none.
Well, I can tell you this. I don't know anything about the green pickup truck that was down on Russell, off of Russell Road, behind Sam Boyd Stadium, that ran into that transformer.
Vinny, I hope you're having a great summer. It's great to see you. Look forward to another football season with you. Thank you very much.
Good to be with you guys. Always enjoy tonight.
Good. Of course, the South Point legends, Hall of Famers, all of them behind the book there at the South Point. Stop by and say hi. It's a great book. When we come back, we got to dive into Miami. Amal is high on Miami and Cristobal. It's coming up.